Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Hey, welcome back to Perspectives. It's Ashley Burgess. Glad to have you here. You know, when you go anywhere, like I was saying earlier, when you go anywhere in public, you know, your actions and your words can be interpreted and misinterpreted every time, anywhere, and anywhere, with anybody. You might mean one thing, and someone take what you said completely opposite, completely out of context, and you could be basically being a really nice person, and instead them thinking you're a real jerk. So tonight, we're going to go through three or four different scenarios and discuss our perspectives, individual perspectives, and how we feel. First joining us, we have Mike Dice. He's been a lifelong sports fan who's turned his passion into a career, journalism at the University of Oklahoma. He also writes mainly about Dallas sports teams based on his blog, www.mikedice.com, D-Y-C-E, as well as on DallasWFAA.com. He focuses a lot on NFL and writing for the NFL Spin Zone. Also writes for Topps, the baseball card company. I used to collect those, actually, when I was a kid. And that's pretty neat stuff. And he's got a great website. He's got a lot on the ball. As well as we have Sarah Jones. She's in the studio. She'll be giving her perspective on some of these little funny scenarios that we have. She's an award-winning designer, and she's really great at what she does. I've seen all her pieces of work right now so far, and I'm just amazed. She grew up in Houston, moved to L.A., got a degree at Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising, and she furthered her studies at the University of Texas, North Texas, and she actually founded a clothing company called Status to provide women with wardrobes that have versatility and different to keep exploration of modern world. And it's really a neat collection. I think she should actually move into men's clothing at some point too. And also joining us is Jeff Thaxton. Jeff has been self-employed since he was probably not even old enough to drive. He's run a million health clubs, construction company, two real estate investment companies. He's also the lead singer and guitarist for a hard rock band called Mars Hill in the 90s, and most recent Thaxton band as well. Glad to have you all three, and your music is amazing, by the way. Glad to have you all three here. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great.
Happy to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you because I couldn't come up with my own perspectives. I mean, I guess I could, but it's not called Perspective with Ashley Burgess. It's called Perspective. So I'm going to need y'all's help tonight.
Happy to help.
You ready?
We're ready.
Okay, here we go. So, okay, I came up with this scenario, and the reason why I came up with it is because three to four people in the last few days have told me that they've actually experienced this exact situation. Okay, picture it. A movie theater. You go to the movie, let's just say in the middle of the afternoon, because for the first time in years, you've had a few hours of time by yourself, and you want to see a movie. Not with your family, not with your friends, by yourself. You go into the theater, you take your seat. Nobody's there. It's completely empty. And a few minutes later, a person walks in and sits directly in front of you, which means that you have no foot room. You have nowhere to put your feet up. You can't do it. So think about it. No one else is in the theater, just you, and that person sits right in front of you. You know, Jeff, what do you think about that situation?
Right when my wife's texting me. if they're in front of me, then like I was explaining, we were talking about this earlier, I would think that they're just trying to get themselves lined up right in the middle of the theater so they got the best view they can get, but being that they were inconsiderate to me, I would just pick myself up and move over a couple of seats. So I've got a little space, and I can put my feet up, and I don't have to worry about kicking them in the head or anything. So.
Okay. What about you, Mike? What do you think?
You know, I actually go to movies by myself a lot. I don't have a problem going to movies by myself, and I prefer it, but this situation has happened to me before, so I take extra steps to make sure it doesn't happen. You know, a lot of the new theaters have the stadium seating, and there's that one row where railings in front of it for, I guess, wheelchairs. So I always make sure I sit behind those railings so I can put my feet up on the railings, and I don't even have to worry about it. It's already been taken care of.
So. You got it all figured out.
Then that's really frustrating to me, too. I went to go see Ted, you know, a very inappropriate movie, very late at night. And I had a family with like four kids right behind me, and they left like about 15 minutes into the movie, I think, when they figured out that it wasn't appropriate. But
that's great.
But I was very frustrated.
What about you, Sarah? What do you think?
Well, I think that I would probably do the, you know, what J- Jeff mentioned as far as stand up, move over a few seats for that, because I'm probably going to want to put my feet up and I don't want to put my feet on their head. But as we were discussing earlier, I would probably, again, right in front, I think is that inconsiderate. Like you said, they're not considering you at all. You know, I would think that most people, even if they were trying to line up for optimum seating space, that they would at least go one or two seats over. I mean, that's not that much of a compromise of your view of the screen. So if they were rude enough to sit right in front of me, I don't think that they would take offense at me moving over two seats.
So let's go to the perspective, though, of being rude versus not rude. You know, sometimes people are not leaders. Sometimes they're followers. So you're the only one in the theater, right? So they kind of, they follow the leader. They don't want to get the shaft. So they sit right there because they assume maybe you know something they don't know.
Well, one thing, too, on that, I think if the scenario where they sat a seat or two, I would think that they were trying to not be rude by coming and sitting near you, especially, like you said, if they're more of a follower, then in their own mind, they are probably thinking, oh, this person's by themselves, I'm going to go sit near you. Whereas you're thinking, sweet, I am by myself, thank God. So I would probably assume the best, that they had good intentions. Right in front, it's a little bit awkward because there's not really any way for you to talk to them while the previews are going on. So if it were, you know, one or two seats over, I would think that they were trying to be considerate and thoughtful by sitting close to you.
That's cool. I mean, I also wondered, what if that person walked in and that happened to be the seat that they sat in, happened to be their absolute favorite seat, or you happened to be sitting in their absolute favorite seat, and so they just sat in the one right in front?
That's possible. And there are people that have that mentality, and they have, you know, something that is very special to them about that position.
Well, I mean, I was just saying that I had a seat picked out, and that's where I like to sit. So it's always frustrating for me when I get in there and somebody's sitting in the seat that I have picked out for me. But fortunately, usually there's like two or three railings, so you have like a shot at it. But, you know, I prefer the one in the middle.
Sure. And that's why you got to just give them the benefit of the doubt, I think. Because like, you don't know what's in somebody else's head. So. Mm-hmm.
No, you really don't. I mean, some people also wonder if somebody's like trying to hit on them or they find them attractive. You know, that could be a position that some people also wonder if they turn their head, are they going to steal their iPhone from them? You know, maybe that's like the whole plan. You know, I also wrote up about 15, 20 different scenarios that this could all be about. And so I overthink things a lot, you know, because I think we all have a tendency of doing that, especially when idle time.
And we love that about you, Ashley.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it kind of works sometimes. You know, I came up with all kinds of stuff from somebody being like a raving psychopath. You know, to the fact that your life could be a total mirror image of this person. So think about this. This is kind of freaky. What if both of you were, it was like a mirror image, you both had like really hard times at work. It was like the first free time you've had. That's why you're both there like during the day at this movie by yourself. It's the first downtime. You didn't have to bring your kids. You don't have to bring your family. And on top of that, you both sit in the same places all the time when you go to the theater. It could be interesting. It could be like your best friend you haven't met. Or it could be the psychopath you don't want to meet. I don't know.
That's more likely.
It's a mixed bag. I mean, who knows, you know? I mean, but I think it's interesting how we all kind of, you know, assimilate a concept out of it and assimilate what that person's thinking, but also feeling bad about even moving. I mean, we were talking about that earlier, Mike, right? About how, what was it? You came up with a concept for how to move?
Yeah, I like to get up and go to the bathroom. And then when I come back, I just put myself in a different seat. You know, I think it's discreet enough where I've excused myself and I've come back, where it's not necessarily so rude as just getting up and moving a couple seats over. So I think it kind of cushions the blow to maybe the person who's involved in this. So, I mean, it's kind of rude, but kind of considerate, right? Like, I'm somewhat thinking of their feelings by trying to, you know, protect them and make them, you know, maybe it's not BO or something that they're thinking.
You're being subtle about it.
Yeah, I think I'm being subtle. There's a certain grace and elegance to that. You know, it's like when you're trying to put your arm around a girl in high school. You know, you do like the yawn. It's kind of like the opposite of that. It's like the subtle way to get away. So
yeah, they don't have proper personal space boundaries. So you're taking care of the situation.
And it's not them. I just
confrontational.
Don't. It's not them. I just don't like people sitting next to me. When I go to a theater with my friend, we even keep a seat between us. Like, I don't want to sit.
That's guys. You know,
yeah. Yeah.
I think you want plausible deniability to where you come back. If they say something, you're like, oh, was I sitting there? I think that's what you want. You want plausible deniability.
You get it. You're there. You're like, oh, I was sitting there. Seats don't matter to me. I just wasn't even thinking about it.
You even had a verbal comeback, too. That was great.
Yeah.
He wants plausible deniability.
I like my space. I'm prepared for this stuff, you know.
What about the people that are from different countries, though? Like, let's say, like India, for example, where people have to be really close. I mean, they're just used to it. I mean, I don't know. I think that's kind of interesting, too. Like, people that have, like, small personal space where they come and talk to you, like, real close.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely a cultural difference, you know, for that. And you have to recognize that that's what that is. But then at the same time, there's a balance between being, like we said, you know, just tolerant and sort of given the benefit of the doubt. And then there are times when you can, you know, I'm American. I would like this. This is my personal bubble for that.
So that's how my wife is. She would just literally say, excuse me, I like to have my space. I'm going to move over here. And, you mm-hmm. know. And she would just tell them politely.
To me, that seems like a good time to go to the bathroom. A few seats over.
Nice. Yeah. I love that. You're ready for your comeback, too. You kind of look around a little bit, look at the seat. Oh, my bad. You know,
exactly.
My bad. I like that. See,
I'm prepared. He's thought of this.
I think I've used that.
I'm kind
of
an overthinker, too. So, you know, I think about this stuff on the way there.
You have to. I mean, because you get yourself in an interesting quandary, and then what do you do at that point? Then you're stuck. You know, you're stuck being human, face-to-face, dealing with the fact that you want your space, and that person's going to probably take it the absolute wrong way.
But in a movie situation, it's more than just your space. It's like, are they going to be on their phone texting? Are they going to – would they answer a phone call? Are they going to be talking throughout the movie? And that's all stuff that wouldn't, like, you know, prevent you from having the best experience possible in the movie.
And part of it is – and I think some people have come to that where it's weighing which is more important to you, that people-pleasing side where you don't want to offend them or you're concerned that they might think that you're moving because of them, even though obviously you are, but balanced with, hey, this is how I want to experience this time. I don't get this very often. And sort of asserting yourself to, okay, what's important to me? No, you don't want to be blatantly rude to somebody, but if it's I might possibly in some microcosm that they're not even paying attention offend them, or I can enjoy my afternoon, there's that balance of, you know what, I'm going to exercise my not people-pleasing muscles and do what I want to do over here. So there's that balance of not being flat-out rude, but guess what? This actually means something to me and is going to affect how I experience this, and they may not even be paying attention.
That's good, actually. That's a thoughtful concept. And, you know, I think a lot of times people that do feel or people that are overly, you know, I guess everybody in this room, counting myself, is that when you start thinking about things, eventually it kind of takes over your time. And so the enjoyment of the activity is now gone because you're too busy wondering how XYZ feels about you moving. And then sometimes that starts plaguing your entire mind. And then you're planning the bathroom and then you're coming back and wondering how they feel again. And then you're thinking, man, I've already missed 10 minutes of the movie. And now I really didn't go to the bathroom the last time. Now I really have to go. And so I'm stuck. So, no, I totally get that. I totally understand what y'all are saying. Hey, when we come back, we're going to hit a couple more scenarios and later on in the hour. But coming up after this break, we have Oh So Cynthia and Cynthia Smoot during her segment of everything that's going out and about with Cynthia Smoot. We also have the Jake Busey Minute. And then we'll come back and we'll have some more fun with the three amigos and amiga here, and we'll discuss all kinds of other great scenarios and concepts of how we see the world and why people should see it the way we see it. Come back in just a couple minutes.